Hello and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal, the show where we talk about people because they're great. I am, as always, Dom, aka Brother Dom on the internet, and I'm joined once again by my lovely co-host. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Stephanie, and I am the snow queer on the internet in some places and Captain Steph in others.
Awesome, awesome. So how are you doing today, Steph? Is it another good one?
I mean, it's a Monday, but, you know, as Mondays go, it's not that bad.
Yeah, feeling the Garfield vibes really hard today. And as always, we have a guest for you all, a great guest who we're going to have a great conversation with. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi there. My name is Sabriel Maston, and I am a freelance writer and games critic.
Ooh, so we are jumping right back into the fire on that. You know, we had a little bit of fun talks that weren't games so much, but just for people who don't have an exact grasp on it, I'm sure a lot of people do, but do you want to explain what freelance writing really is?
Oh, dear. freelance writing, it's throwing yourself out there, basically hoping to get paid by someone who wants your writing.
Hey, that's straight and to the point. Awesome. So how's your, you know, just to back it up a little bit, how's your day going today?
So far, so good. It's my first, actually, just quit my real-life job, quote-unquote. And this is my first day off after that.
Oh. Is that a congratulations or a good luck?
Kind of thing? I think it's a little bit of both. It's been 8.5 years at that job, and I'm ready for the next chapter.
Hey, congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Seems like everybody's going through these kind of times right now, just on to bigger and better things. So that's always good to hear from people. So you said you're also a games critic. So what's really your style of critique? Are you more of like a humor, a satire, sort of the angry, happy, what do we got here?
And definitely not angry, well, rarely.
That's great, we have so much of that.
That's how I feel too. I like to do a little bit of humor. I do sarcasm and wit as well. I also focus on indie games primarily, which is something I kind of fell in love with a few years back when my friend Kathy of Indie Gamer Chick once came to me and she said, "You're opinionated. You should write for me." And I'm like, thanks.
I was going to say, we have a very similar relationship with a friend of ours who runs a blog who was like, "Hey, you have opinions about stuff. Come write for us." The same origin story, basically.
So, Sabriel, was there kind of an indie game that you really fell in love with, the whole indie style? You know, people have been, everybody games, we've all been gaming forever, either hardcore, casual, somewhere in between, somewhere on the outside. But as far as the indie space, was there something that really grabbed your eye that was, oh, I like this better than the AAA stuff?
Oh, goodness gracious. To be quite honest, I've hardly played any AAA things anymore.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the last few AAA games I've actually played are like Blizzard or Nintendo games, like Bayonetta or Mario. Otherwise, like for the last 3 years, everything has been indie.
Cool.
And it's just part of, it just hasn't happened on purpose. It just kind of happened. Like, I follow that scene more now. And
is there a more reason, like gameplay style or story or something along those lines?
Really? Well, I like rooting for the underdog, for one thing. And, I also just think the indie space is doing so much more overall to progress, like, pushing games to a new level. Maybe not a better level or whatever, but a different level. I mean, you get so many new concepts out there. Thinking, like, was it nobody or what? Keep talking and everybody. What's that game?
So something. Keep talking and nobody explodes.
Yeah. That one. That one.
Okay, I've heard of that.
It's amazing. Or Papers, Please, and a number of games like that. And you know, there are a lot that emulate people's favorite experiences from consoles, like or the old arcade games. Like there's brawlers and there's platformers, but some of those other ones, that those niche games that are really amazing. I love the things that they do.
Cool. So for those who might not know, I'll explain Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, because I think that's a little bit more of a niche market at this point. So the whole VR thing, virtual reality, is starting to get a lot bigger. And basically what Keep Talking is one person is in the VR helmet and another person has a physical like instruction manual. And basically you have to go back and forth and try to figure out how to disarm this imaginary bomb or something. And I think I haven't had a chance to see it, but it's apparently very over the top complex.
Oh, yes.
For the sake of it. And just takes really strong communication skills and that sort of thing. And it's really from what I've heard, is more of they're trying to break the realms of what actually we define as a video game. Does that sound about right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it seems like they're trying to, at least with VR or like the indie scene, just bring more people into it. My experience lately has been indie games are starting to either break new ground, you know, topics that aren't covered in the AAA space, you know, like your Gone Homes and that sort of thing. And the game that has the photographer and time travel, what's that game? I can't remember. I always forget it, but... you know, more stories like that, but even the games that are still shooting or violence-based are still trying to do something slightly mm-hmm. different with it. Like Enter the Gungeon, Hotline Miami are essentially shooting and bloodfest, but they're not the same kind of thing you'd see in the AAA space.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Cool, cool. So is there anything that has your eye right now? Any games that you're playing?
Oh, gosh. I've been playing Orion Trail. It's a... So when you hear Orion Trail, you immediately think Oregon Trail.
Right.
And it's kind of similar, but this is a game in space very inspired by pop culture science fiction. Very much so by Star Trek in particular. But you'll see references to Firefly or a whole bunch of other ones. And what you're doing is you're trying to get your spaceship from point A to point B with tons of scenarios in between that come up. You have to build your crew at the start of the game, and each person has, like, stats. Like, person is good at science, or diplomacy, or just bravado. And the game throws a bunch of random events all across your travels, and they kind of deplete your crew, or improve or reduce your skills. And the entire time, you also have to watch your fuel and food supplies and such.
Sounds it's right up my alley.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to FTL in a way, but you don't do any combat.
Oh, cool. Sure. So it's kind of that bridge gap between that and Oregon Trail, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, cool. So so you're in freelance writing. Are there any publications that you've written for recently? Any interesting pieces?
You know, actually, I'm coming back into it. I had a little bit of a break this last year after some real life events, and now I'm starting to go back into it. So yeah, you kind of caught me at the very relaunch of my career, as it were.
Oh, that's the fun part when everybody's, you know, still hungry and all that.
Yep.
And I think you said you had a chance to go to PAX.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You want to tell us about that a little bit?
I can go for a while on this one.
Hey, let's go for it.
So I've been to PAX for, this will be my third PAX East. And I love going to these events. Little backstory, PAX 2014, my very first PAX, and kind of went on a whim. One day I was packing for a vacation, and all of a sudden everybody on Twitter was like, hey, PAX tickets are on sale. I'm like, sure, I'll try. And next thing I know, I'm in queue, and I've gotten tickets. Like, huh. Well, that's like...
If you can actually get them, you kind of have to go.
Right. So I was like, that's like 6 months away. I'll decide how I'm going to get out there in that meantime. Well, 2 weeks before the event, all of a sudden my tickets arrive. I'm like, oh, shoot, we kind of forgot about this. And in that short time, I arranged to stay with some random people I never met on forums, and I got an airplane ticket, and I was off to Boston.
Oh, ooh. Nice, nice.
Yes.
You make some really good friends on the internet now. You know, when I was younger, that's never something I would think of.
Oh, I know.
Now it's like, oh, yeah, it's worth a shot.
So yeah, that first year I made so many friendships, met so many amazing people that I still talk to and even like hang out with to this day whenever I go out to Boston. It's an amazing experience. So this year, whenever I go to PAX, I always race right for the indie area. I just ignore the AAA stuff entirely.
Oh, it's going to get enough coverage anyway. Like,
yeah.
Why even stop by it?
Right, right. Or there's games that are either like are coming out in weeks and you already know how they play. Like last year. Or whatever, Borderlands 1.5. And I'm like, you people already played this game twice, and you're standing in line to play the third iteration of it. And like, oh.
You know how this works. You've been here before.
Exactly. But those lines are always the longest. I'm like, whatever. That's your thing, people. I'm spending my time over here where I can play 100 different games.
Anything kind of pop out at you this year?
Well, actually, that's where I discovered Orion Trail. Turns out the game came out in October. And I kind of like... didn't get a lot of buzz, so like, oh, this is really fun. I'm sad that I missed this.
Hey, might as well take it to PAX and show it off.
That's
get that
right.
Second boost.
That's right. Another game is called Objects in Space. And yes, it has the same name as the Firefly episode, if that hits your thing. It's a really ridiculously cool game. It's a complex, they call it modem punk kind of game.
modem punk.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but like, it fits completely. Like, oh, this is a cool term for this. You are a lone pilot in a spaceship. You have panels that do everything, like communications and sensors and weapons, and you can dock to bases, so you can do trading. You have to actually go to your airlock and you have to walk out of your ship, and that's kind of neat. But what's really stood out about this is that they created a custom controller for this. It's so cool. It's not required to play, but so they had this huge setup where they had lights showing you the status of all your systems. You had to hit your thrusters, you had to hit a button that'll and turn your ship, and oh, it's so cool. And oh, you actually had the keys to turn on the whole system, like your car keys.
So cool.
And that's pretty cool. Oh, it's so cool. I just like, oh, this is amazing. And I kept showing all my friends there. Like, I was over there at that booth every day and just talking to those people. It was great.
Sounds like a really good time. So it seems like you kind of have like an inclination towards sci-fi.
Absolutely. I'm a huge Chuckie.
So you're more in the sci-fi than like the fantasy and that kind of thing?
Oh, I do like fantasy, but much bigger into sci-fi, especially Star Trek.
What's your favorite Star Trek?
Oh, everyone hates me when I say this, but oh God. It's like choosing your favorite child, you know?
Yeah, true. That's very fair.
My two favorites are DS9 and Enterprise, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I love Enterprise.
A bold choice.
Yeah, most people are like, what? Gasp.
Steph, what are your favorite Star Treks?
Well, I'm kind of a hooligan in that I have only ever watched the original series, and I'm working my way slowly through The Next Generation. They're all on my list eventually to watch, but there's so much of it.
There is. until about a year or two ago, I had actually not watched the entirety of the original series. And so what I did was I was still playing Warcraft at that time or something like that. So I would just put on those episodes and play it while I was playing the game. And the original series is really rough. It's one of those things you probably shouldn't just sit down to watch unless you're like sick, because there's a lot you can skip. But it was worthwhile.
That's how I get through my my backlogs of shows to watch. Is what I'm sewing for cons and stuff. I put them on in the background and have some noise. But I've also watched the animated series of the original series, which is a whole different trip.
There are some surprise gems in there that you wouldn't think.
Yeah, there are actually, I don't think it ever got, I should publish it somewhere else because I don't think it ever got published, but I wrote a piece once for a friend who was trying to put an anthology together about he was having someone write a piece for each episode of the original series and then the animated series.
That's lofty. That should definitely, you should definitely publish that.
Like the animated series has something neat where most people have seen Star Trek 2009. A lot of the lore for Spock actually came from the original animated series. His childhood lore. There was those scenes where he was learning stuff and they kind of pulled that from the animated series, which is really kind of neat.
Yeah, I think my favorite episode there was an episode where all of the men I can't remember what it's called, but all of the men are taken over by some aliens and Uhura has to assume command of the ship and like send an entirely female away team down to save them, and I was like, this is fantastic.
What's really cool was like the animated series is the first place that you actually saw female security officers. Mm-hmm. Never happened on the original series, and then it later happened on other shows, but like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting my geek out here.
No, that's exactly what we want. I am confession time. I've never really watched Star Trek, so I was essentially just listening to another language until someone said Spock, and I said, oh, I know that. Oh, I know those names. I've seen the memes.
So this is you hearing us. All you can hear is boop, 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 Spock, boop, boop.
I felt just like Finn in The Force Awakens. Like, I get the gist of what you're saying, but this is droid talk. I don't know what's going on. No, but that's definitely something we like to encourage. My favorite thing is, you know, seeing people be passionate about their various geekdoms, you know, whether it's Star Trek or elves and orcs, or even sports or art. If someone's passionate about something and just goes back and forth like that, that's the coolest thing to me.
Oh yeah, that's me, all right.
So, Art, do you have anything that you're starting to write for, like any irons in the fire that we can, that you can share a little bit?
Oh goodness. Well, I was actually working on a piece where it's still in the planning process, but falling out of a game, or falling out of love of a game genre.
Oh.
I was playing. Okay, so what I'm doing in the background is I'm doing 12 and 12 challenge. It's where you choose 12 games from your backlog. And once a month, or at least one game a month, you try to play one of those games, give it a shot, or even try to beat it. And I was playing XCOM Enemy Within. Or Enemy Unknown. The one that came out like 4 years ago.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Okay. And I realized that like I've played a number of tactics games since Final Fantasy Tactics, and I'm just not having the fun I used to. And I'm trying to figure out where falling out of that love had come, because I had adored Final Fantasy Tactics. And so right now I'm kind of processing, like, what is it? And trying to figure out if there's a certain theme or certain something wrong, or if it's one of my, I'm kind of focusing on now is I just don't have the time like for games like I used to when I was a high schooler, you know?
Oh yeah, that's definitely part of it.
And that's when I played Tactics. So I'm wondering if maybe that's part of it. And so I'm hoping to get something out on that and see how that goes.
Sounds pretty interesting. Look forward to hearing more about that. I think it's definitely, you know, some of the things we used to like, you don't necessarily dislike them now, but the having time, like when you're younger, is definitely a big thing. You know, I played through the first Pokemon, like Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold and Silver, skipped Ruby and Sapphire because that's kind of when I fell into the whole time to be mature thing. but then Diamond and Pearl came out while I was in high school, and we're like, okay, yeah, we need to stop faking. This is definitely a good series. So I played through those. Played through Diamond twice because I lost my first cartridge. You know, over 100 hours. Then someone, it was the worst. I had a great Luxray. He had great stats. And then I lost it. And I had to get a new one. And it just wasn't the same. But and then someone got me Soul Silver for my birthday or something. And Silver was my absolute favorite one in the series. You know, 16 badges. And I just didn't want to play it anymore. I was like, this is, I don't want to run around scratching and tackling stuff. I don't have time to level up to five and six. I'm not even going to play. That might be, it might be because of time. Also, I don't really go on car rides anymore. I'm normally driving, so.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day because I watched an literally obnoxious amount of anime when I was in high school. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes in like over the course of like a year. Like, and now I watch maybe one new series a year, if that, if I have time. And just like, and it's because it's entirely just time. Like, where does it go?
Being, I know, adult, right? Sucks. I know. Adulting can be amazing because you can eat M&Ms for breakfast if you darn well want to. But yeah, you have more commitments and responsibilities.
Do you have any stories about eating M&Ms for breakfast?
None that I should reveal.
Good answer. I have exactly one that I can reveal. I don't know if there's more, but I was at a party, and, you know, before I started drinking, you know, have you ever had the feeling before you drink or you haven't drank that you woke up with a hangover despite not drinking? Well, that happened to me, and I woke up, and I don't have a cat, but my friend had a cat, and there was cat everywhere. My nose was all clogged up. I couldn't breathe. It was New Year's morning. I said, I need anything, and all they had was M&Ms and Pepsi, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to make it better or worse, but I'm going to be a gambling man and give it a shot. Spoiler alert, it made it worse. So it might be cool to wake up and brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack, but Pepsi and M&Ms are not a suitable replacement. So there's the moral for the kids. So, Sabriel, yeah. How are you doing so far?
I'm doing great.
Would you be in the mood to answer some rapid-fire questions?
Sure.
Steph, you can do the honors and pick the first one.
Shall I go first?
I love just throwing it over to you.
I think we kind of may have gotten the answer for this already from before the show, but are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm a cat person. I've got two cats.
What are their names?
They are Hermione and Minerva.
Excellent.
Yes, they are Harry Potter references.
Very cool.
We got a good. I like when people have geeky animal names. That's always the best. My dog's name is Kia. That's a car.
I have a Kia Soul.
Our our dog Kia has a soul, I would say. Had to throw the pun. I couldn't help myself. It's all I do. Okay. All right. If you could have a superpower for a week, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness.
You don't have to worry about any of the secondary stuff. So it's not like you can run like the Flash, but you can't withstand friction. So you don't have to worry about any of that.
Oh, God. I haven't thought of that before.
It's not a genie wish.
I think I would like flight. Flight. What? Yes.
Why is that?
Well, I've always had a love of flying, and even though I'm scared to death of heights, if I could fly and know when it was going to end, I would love to take advantage of that while I could.
Well, a clock and a calendar would be your best friend in that situation.
Oh, crap, 5 minutes, and I'm way up here.
It didn't go so well in Chronicle, but for everybody else, it could. Interesting movie. Give it a shot if you ever get a chance. So do you take a lot of flights in airplanes or anything like that?
I do. My girlfriend's here now in Fargo, but I used to fly out to Virginia multiple times a year. A few years ago, I flew out to Atlanta to perform a wedding ceremony. Otherwise, there's the three PAXs and GamerX and PAX South. So yeah, love to fly. And get pre-check if you can. It's worth it.
I've heard that before, and it's something I'm going to start putting into my whole pre-flight repertoire. I don't fly as much as I'd like to, but... So you mentioned the PAXs and the GamerX and other stuff. Do you have a favorite convention that you like to go to?
So far, I'm going to have to say just PAX East. A lot of it's for the memories and the people I met. Sure. But I absolutely loved PAX South. I went to the first one. And that was a really cool experience, seeing their first PAX since down there and seeing how it works out. And then last year, I went to GamerX for the first time. And I'm excited to hopefully make it again this year.
Okay, that's really cool. It's cool. Some of these bigger ones, and I'm just curious about this, if you've had any experience with it, you know, there's all the controversy with the PAX guys and all that, and then obviously people on the internet are going to be people on the internet. How frequently do you kind of see that sort of vitriol at these conventions, if at all? Like, not necessarily directed at any specific person, but just kind of...
Like, ground floor
right,
level.
Right. To be quite honest, it's quite a rare event in my personal experience, and your results may vary, but I've had an overwhelmingly, amazingly positive experience each of the 3 years. But once in a while, I'll stand behind some bro dudes thinking they're all super funny. And like this year, I was walking behind some guys on the way to the convention center. And, oh God, they were making fun of someone in a wheelchair. And I was like, seriously, guys, really? And they're obviously high schoolers or just very early college age. I'm like, ugh.
It's like, please grow out of this.
Yeah, please grow out of this. And it was obvious they're just trying to be funny for their friends.
Mm.
That's always the worst. No one wins in that situation.
Right.
You're going to regret that later.
Right. And, you know, like, I was a different person 10 years ago. I was kind of a dumbass as well. So, and I grew out of it. So I'm hoping for these guys, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we've all been there. It's...
I like to say, like, 2010 Bree or Sabriel. 2010 Sabriel is a lot different than 2016 Sabriel.
Oh, I can say the same thing on mine. 2014 Dom is much different than 2016 Dom.
The new models are great.
Q1 Dom is different. Always got to be on continuous improvement. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, overall, it's been pretty positive. Like, there's a few experiences here and there. It always seems to be one thing each year of someone really being a dumbass. Like last year, an enforcer was actually harassing and following Brianna Wu.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. That's really wild of a thing that happened.
Uh-huh. And then this year, I don't know what he is, but he went to a diversity panel with a number of my friends on the panel. He went back there and was trying to record things and basically kind of making commentary about how kinds of people these events attract.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard a little bit about that. It's kind of such a weird, I don't know the word, paradigm, whatever, that you would go out of your way to go to like a quality panel and kind of troll it, but not, you know,
right,
disrupt it. Just kind of like, oh, I'm going to troll this later.
Yes.
Like, you could be doing literally anything else. You could be hosting a panel about why ours is bad, theoretically, if you wanted to. That would be more productive than what you're doing.
It's like, oh, joke's on you, dude. You just sat through 45 minutes of quality programming. Oh.
And technically made it available for us who would have wanted to go. They couldn't.
Right, so, right.
Thanks for that, I suppose. What a weird thing to do. I don't know. it's weird how the make your own argument can go, you know, in both ways.
Absolutely. But seriously, those are majorly in the minority. Like, overall, the experience has been wonderful. I meet so many great people. Like, I keep saying that over and over again because those are some of my favorite parts. Like, sure, the games are great, but games come and go. And I love the games, but the people are what make it.
Yeah, you're going to be able to get the game when it comes out probably anyway, you know, so it's really the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I guess for, like, how many people go, the few, like, the small minority of problems is relatively low.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool, cool.
I suppose it kind of derailed your rapid-fire questions here.
Oh, no, that's completely the point. You know, it's a free-form kind of show, so.
Yeah, I'd much rather have you ramble on about something than have to keep asking the questions to keep the conversation going.
Oh, I can go forever. I was on my first panel this year.
Oh. That's exciting.
What was it about?
It was called Why It's Still Really Rad to Be a Woman in the Games Industry.
Oh, I'm glad that was a panel because as someone who's not a woman that knows women, I heard it wasn't so rad to be in the games industry.
Yeah. The point of the panel was kind of show that there is some positivity here. There is some great things going on here. And we talked about that a bit. And I can tell you about the panel if you'd like or how it went. It was really moving for me. People around me.
Please do.
I've been talking about it so much to people around me that they've been like, oh, I've heard this story a million times.
I've yet to hear about it, so this is all new territory for me.
Okay, a little bit of backstory first. It'll become relevant later in the story.
Okay.
On Friday, there was a feminism panel that went disastrously. You may have seen the internet outrage about it.
I did hear a little bit.
It was three teenagers who wanted to speak on feminism and diversity. Unfortunately, they said some things that were unfortunate, and I think their hearts were in the right place, but they just were not, I don't want to say mature enough, but didn't know enough what they didn't know. The gist of it kind of being like basically saying trans people can wait their turn for rights.
Ooh.
And those aren't their words exactly. I want to make sure that's the point, but just kind of that's the feeling they really projected. And they even doubled down on such a thing later on. So, okay. So that happened. Saturday happens. My panel comes up. And to be honest, like, I was feeling this strong sense of imposter syndrome all week long. Like, what am I doing up here with all these amazing people? What am I doing? What have I gotten myself into? And, I had no problem speaking in front of other people. That was nothing. But just speaking in front of other people with these people beside me. So the events, getting closer and closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, heart, like that day, hours are ticking by and my heart is getting thump, 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 thump. I'm like, oh God, what am I doing? So we meet up and this huge empty room. It's not a hall room. That's not even a word. And
nice cross between exhibitor hall and ballroom.
Right, right.
gonna trademark that.
So the five of us are sitting up there, and our moderator is getting ready, and I'm sitting there like, God, what am I doing here? Oh. And before I know it, they open the doors to let people in, and I don't pay attention. A moment ago, it was completely empty. I turn around, and all of a sudden, the entire thing is packed full. There is, I couldn't tell you the exact numbers, but probably at least 500, probably more people there. And I'm like, whoa, what a turnout. And, oh God, what am I going to do? So the panel gets started and introductions go, and Sarah starts and she's like, hi, I do this, that, and this. And I'm like, oh. My friend Tatiana, she goes and she's like, hi, I do this, that, and this. I go, oh. Okay, so it's my turn. I'm like, hi, I'm Sabriel, and I write. That's about it. Like, I'm like, oh. And then the next two people go, and they're like, hi, we do this, that, this. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm pretty timid the first half of the panel. But we were talking about positive things or how we got to where we were, what we do. And, so before the convention even started, we were talking about topics and what we'd be talking about. And finally, about halfway through, a moderator's like, what are some difficulties you've had in the games industry? And or like difficulties or problems, and the others are going, and I'm sitting here like, oh gosh, I had a prepared answer, but I don't know. And I had been thinking, like, it was really important for me to see someone like me out there and being visible. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. When my turn comes, I have them skip me while I think about things, and the others talk about their stuff, and Jonathan, the moderator, comes back to me like, Sabriel, what were you going to say? And I took a deep breath, and I said, well, one of the hardest things is about how open do I want to be about being trans? It's not a secret. It's not something I hide. I just don't talk about it to people, or it doesn't matter. And I didn't realize how much this had been pent up inside me, because I was on the verge of tears all of a sudden, and it was really getting emotional. And I had to sit back for a second and catch myself. And my friend Tatiana reaches over and kind of touches my shoulder, half hug here, and next thing I know, the audience is just cheering and clapping and applauding. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm not coming out, people. I want to make sure that you knew I wasn't coming out. I was already out. I just never talk about it. And people are just like, yeah, you cheer, cheer, happy. And the rest of the panel goes by, and I'm feeling much better now. And well, after panels, a lot of people, most of the crowd shuffles out of the auditorium or room. But a lot of people rush to the front. They want to talk to panelists more. And there was a number of people starting to gather, and I'm like, oh yeah, they're here to talk to everyone else. So I'm gathering my things. I look up and, oh, there are actually people in front of me. Like, you people, sure? Are you sure? And I'm kind of thinking, and I will never forget this moment. I look there, and there is this person in this red plaid shirt looking up with me with the brightest smile and just said, thank you. Thank you so much for being visible. And just really, really appreciated what I had said, that I'd come out, or, you know, sort of. And then I was just out there. This biggest smile, and it just broke my heart. I was almost crying right there in happiness. And they just disappeared and shuffled off in the crowd. I never learned her name. I was sad about that. But a number of other people came up and said, thank you for not being like that other panel. Thank you for being friendly. Thank you for being welcoming. And that was almost like, oh my God, and I'm almost tearing up again. And so many people.
I was tearing up and I wasn't even there.
Yeah. And so many people came and shared the same sentiments and, you know, asked other questions. And it was like, oh, heartwarming. And then we were taking too long, and the enforcers are starting to shuffle us out into the hallway. And more people came up and said the same thing. And someone else came to, like, have us all sign her badge. I'm like, oh, like, it was just an overwhelmingly amazing experience. And even, like, the rest of the convention, I'd see people, like, pointing at me, not in a, oh, ha, look at that person. No, it was more like, that's her kind of thing. Or other people would come up to me and talk to me about the panel. And I was like, oh.
See, that's so awesome.
I think that's the
that
best.
Kind of thing is the best to hear.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the best first panel experience ever.
Oh yeah, that is especially as a first panel. That's so like above and beyond what I would even hope for.
And so, like,
that's amazing.
I've always heard, like, once you do a panel, you're like, okay, when's the next one? And I'm like,
oh, you got the itch.
Yeah, that would never be me. And yeah, it is. And I'm already planning one for GamerX.
That's so cool.
So now I just got to get my butt out there.
Yeah, I feel like that's the hard part, you know. But then just once you're there, it seems like. You just get in the groove and keep going.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I'm excited again.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. See, like, a first panel story, like, you know, you always feel like it's going to be a horror story, but it's great to hear, like, having a great experience, having a great impact on so many people.
Well, let's see, like, my first panel experience went amazing, but that feminism one, I don't think that one went so well. People actually walked out of that one. Oh. And an acquaintance of mine actually stood up during the QA and said, no, and then stormed out, and a bunch of people followed him.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know, like we were saying with those jerky bros from before, you know, we all got to learn, even if our heart's in the right place.
Right. I hope they do.
Hopefully seeing a panel like yours can, you know, really put people's kind of, you know, focus a little bit, you know.
Right.
I think if someone's heart's in the right spot, even if you make mistakes, it's going to be a lot easier to bounce back from that.
I agree.
Well, that's cool. Steph, I'm going to start a hashtag. Hashtag okay. Representation matters, because that's like so many episodes people are talking about it, getting this great panel story, write about it like every week. So gonna just trademark that.
Trademark it now.
Yeah. RM.
Yeah, you inspired me, because I'm actually giving my first panel in a couple months at the Harry Potter convention in Las Vegas, Leviosa.
And what's it gonna be on?
Goes well. It's going to be about femslash and fan fiction and whether it's the fault of creators or fans that there is not that much of it compared to guy on guy slash.
I like that idea. I like that idea.
A little bit of both.
I wish I was going now, so make sure it's being recorded.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll go well.
Take the laptop and mic.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like a fascinating topic. I would love to hear more about it. Because, yeah, Slash is always kind of overrun by dudes. I mean, I'm not written by dudes necessarily, but just it always is. Seems to be anyway.
Yeah, so I haven't really started doing even research yet for it, but I'm...
They like... I always love that there's... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that they like the idea enough to approve the panel, so...
Like, oh, crap, now I have to do something.
Yeah.
Sounds suspiciously like homework to me.
Yeah.
It's always wild to see that you'll have so much, like, guy slash even in shows that are predominantly not guys. Like, I'm sure there's somebody trying to find the, you know, male slash in the Steven Universe show, and that's really not the point whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that after something... That was a really great topic. You know, I feel bad about jumping back at the rapid fire, you know?
No, it's cool. It's cool.
Whose turn is it? Steph, is it your turn?
I'll take one. So you clearly are a Harry Potter fan. What's your house? What Hogwarts house are you?
I am Slytherin.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm numbered.
I went to Hogsmeade about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, down at Universal Studios.
Oh, it's so cool, isn't it?
It was. And I was like, oh, I really, really want a Slytherin tie. I'm like, oh, this would be so cool. I go see it. I'm like, I don't $33 want a Slytherin tie. So I found a lanyard, actually. It was $11. And I wore that at PAX.
Much better.
And I actually got recognized. Like, I went to a bagel shop. And this really, really, really cute girl. I was like, excuse me. Is that Slytherin? I'm like, yes. Well, actually, I think I bounced yes and blushed and ran away. But...
That's the ultimate way to show approval.
Yeah, I got a Ravenclaw one when I was there, the same lanyard, and I wear it at work, even though we're supposed to all have the same black lanyard. I work at Barnes and Noble, and but I was like, I'm gonna wear this Ravenclaw one anyway, and if that's the problem you have with me, you can
seriously.
I do the rest of my job so well, so
good on you.
So yeah, I always get love for that.
Here's another one. So if you could see any kind of crossover, whether it be fictional, non-fictional, sci-fi, fantasy, game, or book, or whatever, what kind of crossover would you like to see?
Oh my goodness gracious. Firefly and Firefly.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to do here.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Oh, goodness. Well, there was a comic actually on it. I would love to see it actually fleshed out more. There's a Star Trek and Doctor Who crossover.
Ooh.
And I'm fans of both of them. And yeah, there's a visual novel, a comic, one of the two. And it's kind of like this. Are either of you Whovians?
Yes.
Okay. The Borg and the Cybermen join forces. Yeah. That was a good one. So I guess I would like to see more of that combination.
Very nice.
A very similar philosophy too, which I like, the idea, like the infinite, like the intrinsic worth of humanity, and
yes.
That kind of like good moral. So I like to see that in my sci-fi.
I'm all about that. I'm actually kind of getting tired of the gloom and doom sci-fi that's taken over since like the last 16 years. I really miss the happy utopia of the Star Trek universe. And yeah. DS9 had its war, and it was like showing like humans are still humans in the future. But overall, it still had a good message, and I really, really miss that in sci-fi.
Yeah, I always prefer my fiction to be a little bit brighter. You know, it's we don't live in a dystopian world just yet, but there's enough gloom in the world. I'd like to see some bright colors and some people smiling.
Exactly.
Good. So I guess let's finish up with this one. Are you familiar with Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Vaguely, barely.
Okay, I think you still answered the question then. Okay. If you had to be a bender of one of the four elements, and you're not limited to just skills they can do in the show, which bender would you pick?
I think I would choose water or fire. Those are big ones.
So a steam bender.
Put them together. I would love that. I love steampunk too, so hey.
There you go.
That should be a thing, a steampunk bender.
Yeah, I'm all for this.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. All right. Well, that's a nice little rapid fire round. You know, went on some nice tangents there. It's pretty cool.
Excellent.
So great. You know, I think that's pretty much everything, unless you had something you wanted to bring up.
No, nothing in particular here. I guess I didn't. You know what? I realized I did not say my Twitter handle when I introduced myself earlier.
Oh, no, we were going to make sure to have a time.
Okay,
for
good,
that.
Good.
So, but if you want to do it now, please be my guest.
Cool. You can find me now I'm going to tell you, and then it's like, oh, how the hell do I spell that? it's at Sabreality. You can also just go to sabreal.me, and it has links to all of my socials.
Awesome, and we'll put it in the show notes and all that. You know, we're still new, but we're trying to be as professional as possible.
good deal. Show notes are wonderful.
Yes. Oh, hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us. You have a decent time hanging out?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, this is
really
fun.
Yeah, it's great meeting new people. You know, this is just an excuse to talk to new cool people on the internet, you know, so going pretty well so far.
Good.
So,
happy to
Steph,
hear it.
You want to hit them with the social media biz?
You got it. Alrighty. So, Dom and I both write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends website, kind of pop culture from a feminist and social justice kind of slant. That's ladygeekgirlandfriends.wordpress.com. You can find me on Tumblr at TheSnowQueer and on Twitter at CaptainSteph. You can follow this podcast's Twitter at CharacterRev on Twitter. And Dom, do you want to do you?
I'm so good at doing that kind of thing. I'm at Brother Dom on the tweets, the tumbles, the SoundCloud, the OC Remix, wherever you want to find me, and I'm willing to be found. You can find me at Brother Dom. That's BROTHADOM. You know, getting a little bit of slang in there. The brother is completely on purpose. It's not brother. If you try to search that, you probably will not find me. So good luck on that. But that's pretty much the social media business. You know, we're trying to have this podcast out there. All that kind of stuff. We're always willing to talk to new people. So again, Sabriel, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you again for having me here. It was fun.
Yep, sure thing. Yeah, we'll have to have you back sometime. You know, once you get, like you said, back in the groove of all your writing and all that cool stuff.
Hell yeah.
The best.
Awesome. All right. And until next time, we will see you later.
Bye.